Good evening and welcome. My name is Stacey Sherman Kubchinski. I am the monthly host of Who Are These Spiritualists, where we look at current day spiritualists paving the way for keeping the tradition of the science, philosophy, and religion of spiritualism alive. I love to talk to current spiritualists from all over the world and see what spiritualism has done for them, how long they've been in it, and what stories of the past have influenced or inspired them to be living their spiritualist life. So I'm really excited to welcome tonight's guest. Tonight's guest is Diane Lynn. I had the privilege of meeting her in Lilydale, and I know a lot of us probably found the spiritualist movement or started to understand spiritualism by a trip to Lilydale, New York. Of course, this is broadcast on Lilydale Radio, along with Lilydale's Facebook page and social media sites. But I do strongly suggest, if somehow you've come across this interview and you're not familiar with Lilydale, to really look into that beautiful gated community and see its history, what it has offered humanity for all of these hundreds, almost 200 years now, and really just think about maybe coming out and taking a trip and meeting everyone. The season actually opens just this month. I think the show is being broadcast the week before it opens. So it's just right around the corner that the opening is coming in. And there's a bunch of classes and workshops and presenters and entertainment that is coming this season, and definitely would probably you would find something you like. So without any further ado, I'd like to bring in our guest tonight, Diane Lynn, and look forward to sharing this evening with her. Yay! So here she is, Diane Keeley. How are you?
I'm great, Stacey. It is so nice to be here with you today. Thank you so much for inviting me. And I'm just excited to see you and catch up with you as well. We're both two ships passing in the night. We're so busy. So to sit down and spend a little bit of time talking to you is a joy for me.
Aw, thanks. I know, I'm super excited. It's always so nice. And so you don't have to say what city you're from, but what state are you from? Because I always like people to know.
No. Hey, I'll spread it. I'm from Pittsburgh, PA. I'm a proud Pittsburgher, but I have lived all over the country and I travel quite a bit. So Pittsburgh is where I lay my head most of the time. But that's I'm a proud Steelers fan too.
All right. So that being said, I know I kind of gave away in our intro that we met in Lilydale, but before we get involved in all of that, how did you find spiritualism, or did spiritualism find you?
You know, I like to say that I was a spiritualist before I realized it, right? So like many of my friends, I was raised Catholic, and a good Catholic family. You know, it wasn't overbearing. I don't have horror stories of being a Catholic. I enjoyed Catholicism and still have many Catholic friends to this day. And yet when I found Lilydale about 10 years ago, I was like, oh, this exactly matches my philosophy and my spirituality that I have in my heart. And it doesn't mean that Catholicism didn't, but I think even just going back as a child, I always spoke with spirit. I always knew there was something else going on. I couldn't really put my finger on it. And as I got older and I learned a little bit more, but particularly when I found Lilydale about, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years ago, something like that, I literally walked through the gates and said, oh, this is what I believe. This is what I've always believed. I just didn't know it had a name. And so that's kind of, you know, I feel like I've always been a spiritualist. I just didn't know that's what the proper title of what my belief system was.
I love that answer, because so many people talk about like coming through the gates of Lilydale and they feel that sense of home, but mm-hmm. I love your perspective of like, I always was, I just didn't know it had a name, like how, so that would feel like home, wouldn't it, almost, when you would walk in the door?
It does. I mean, from the minute I found Lilydale, I said, that's my spiritual home. And you know, and I think the question I always get asked is, how did I find Lilydale? I really don't even know. I swear to you, like, I know I saw the movie, I know I had heard of it. And actually, and to be absolutely honest, I had wanted to go to Chautauqua Institute. That was on my radar, right? I mean, we both love to learn, and I thought, oh my gosh, I could take a week and go learn and immerse myself in all in all different types of things, including religion and philosophy and history and all these wonderful things that I have a passion for. And so Chautauqua was more on my radar. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember hearing about this place, Lilydale. And then when I walked through those gates, my spiritual home, I mean, that was, forget it. I mean, there's a vacation planned every single summer for Lilydale, and I've spent a good amount of my personal time going there. I love it. I have a passion for it.
Oh my gosh. It is it, so it is that idea of maybe spirit found us or you, versus, that's an interesting listening to that. That's really interesting. When you walked in and you found that, your spiritual home, what part of it, like what part of modern spiritualism were you drawn to, or what felt like, I mean, I hear you when you say like, this is like my whole beliefs, but what really kind of was the first magnet or pull?
Sure. I think when I realized that it's a science, philosophy, and a religion, and I think, look, if I'm reflective, I'm an optimist. You and I think I can easily call us both optimists, but I'm also, there's a deep realist in me, right? Right. You can't, I'm optimistic I'm gonna hit the lottery, but I'm very realistic that it probably won't happen, right? I'm that person. And in any re most religions, I'd say most religions, and I'm very respectful and loving of many religions, and like I know you are as well, we study a lot of other religions because I think they all have things to give us and things that we can take with us and love. But as I've studied other religions, there is a strong faith, right? You have to have faith in a lot of those religions. When I really looked at spiritualism, it's not about faith. It is a knowledge. We are given proof every single day of the continuity of life, of that our loved ones are still with us, of the other side, that there is something past the loss of this physical existence. Not a faith that I will. I know. And you and I and our friends, we communicate with the others on the other side every day. That's a science. We can prove it. We can prove it every single day with physics. And that, to me, for the realist in me, that really resonated, that I didn't just have to have faith. And there's nothing wrong with faith. I mean, I have faith that I won't get hit by a bus later today, right? Like, I love faith, but I know when it comes to spiritualism, I know what's on the other side. I know because I've had those conversations as you have. And so that really resonated with me. That stuck with me to this day, is that.
That triggers I remember, and I'm not taking ownership of this, and I don't know who said it or when it was said. It could have been, 100 years ago or 10 years ago, for all I know. But I remember hearing, spiritualism is not a religion of conversion, but of one of conviction. And, and that's like what you just said just reminded me of that, of that part of going, okay, faith is that, okay, I'll believe if most people do, and all right, and not that that's not great, faith, hope, those are all good things to have, but truth, or just, what we deem as our truth, is fact to us in our knowing. Like you said, I know, that this is because of everything that I have witnessed and continue to witness. Don't we still always sit in awe?
Daily. Oh, it's funny. I just had a conversation with a friend a week ago, and we had one of those moments, right? Where, had inadvertently delivered a message that really resonated. And she shared with me why that mattered. And I sat there and I said, oh, I love it when it happens. I still love it when it happens. And I had another friend who I was conveying that story to, and she was, the fact that you, after everything, after, I mean, I spoke with spirit as a child all the way through my life, and I'm only 29 now, but I have many years to go, but I will continue to enjoy this journey. But that you still get this excited, Diane, whenever that the proof is shown to you, and that you were blessed to be a vessel of communication from the divine to anybody else, and to provide any level of healing. The fact that you still get excited about that is inspiring. And I do. I mean, I again, I think you get the same way. That's probably why we connected. It's such a beautiful life to be able to live, to say, I know these things. I know them to be true. Because spirit speaks with us every single day. And Stacey, I'll share, you know, one of my passions, you know, as I developed my mediumship, and I developed, you know, and having, you know, my own ministry, is that I love to share with people that, you know, you don't have to go to a medium to have these experiences, right? We're all mediums. We all receive these messages. You know, does it take slowing down and a little bit of discipline, and meditation is so helpful, but you know, there are certainly things that we can do to guide us on that journey, but literally everybody can do this. This is a gift from the divine to us. And so that inspires me also. And I love to share that. That is something that I share as often as I can. Don't say, oh, wow, that's amazing, Diane. No, it's not. First of all, it comes from the divine. Second of all, you can too. And let me help you. Let me show you. Let me give you a few tips as to how you are already receiving messages, and likely either ignoring them, you're too busy, you don't believe it, whatever it is, you're already receiving those messages. That spirit wants to communicate through us. They want us, they desperately want us to hear their messages and to have that communication. And so however I can do to share that with others is something I'm very passionate about.
Oh, yes, you know, goosebumps, blood flowing, like when you talk about that kind of stuff, you know, being able to say, yeah, you know, that noise that you feel, or those dreams that you hear, or that voice that, you know, that inner dialogue in your head where you think or you're imagining having a conversation, you know, we now through our experience have learned to say, oh, that's, you know, usually I always say, if somebody starts out something, a conversation with me, like, this is weird, unusual, strange.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how to take this. I'm like, you have my attention, because, right? Because yeah. We watch how spirit gives us these aha moments, these, you know, I continue to still have them. I'm sure you still do too. Is there any aha moment that like just stands out in your mind since you've kind of walked into this journey of being a spiritualist?
Yeah, you know, here's what I'll say. When I have doubts, and we all do, right? You know, the best spiritualists, the best mediums, we all doubt sometimes these messages that we receive, and should we give them? I remind myself of a practice reading that I was doing when I was developing with my beautiful, amazing mentor, Patricia Price. But I was doing a practice reading, and a lovely sitter with me, and we had connected with her father. And I said, he's handing me the three jewels. I don't know if this is in a necklace or in a ring, but I know you'll know what this means. Three jewels. Three gems. Oh, gems. They're gems. They're not jewels. They're gems. He's saying, I have three gems. I don't know. Is it in a necklace? Is it in a bracelet? I don't know. So we finish. He goes, I know what you're talking about. And we finish. And I said, could you explain to me what the three gems? And again, I wanted to explain it, right? A necklace? Is it a necklace? And she goes, no, Diane. She says, my mother, my sister, and myself were all Geminis. And he used to refer to us as his three gems. And so, right. So, I mean, this happened years ago. And this is still an aha that I take to remind myself that this is a message of healing and love that we may not always understand, and that we need to get out of our own ego and get out of our own doubt and deliver it and share it, because we are nothing but the vessel for that healing. And, you know, again, I get in my own way often, but that's the one example that I use for myself that I just come back to over and over. And it's like, Diane, don't forget the three gems. You had no idea what it meant, but boy, did it mean something to that sitter. So,
oh my gosh, that's Goosebump City, Goosebump City. And
I've told that story 100 times. I gave myself goosebumps again.
I know. That's always the greatest. I was, and it reminded me, it was making me laugh as I was listening to it, because I love gems. Like, I was thinking, like, where is this going? You know, because your human mind's going off and things. And I had recently done a mediumship demonstration, and kind of different situation, but yet similar. So I'm going to just share for a minute, because it got a big laugh, you know, the whole room. Because I was giving this gentleman a message from his uncle in spirit, and you know, it was, you know, your good evidential message. And you know how we get in our way. This was the obstacle thing that you were talking about. A lot of times we'll see something and we won't say it, because we're like, why am I thinking that? That's so weird. Or, you know what I mean? We get into that head, the I call it the monkey mind, right? Because all of a sudden, standing next to his uncle was John Wayne. Now, not John Wayne, the John Wayne, like in a spirit form, but kind of like a cardboard cutout of John Wayne.
Yeah.
And I was so perplexed. This is probably what my face looked like, because I really didn't want to say, and he's with John Wayne, because I thought that would be unusual, but I couldn't not say it. So I said, you know, your uncle's just really letting you know he's right next to John Wayne. And he just gasped, right? He went like, oh, like that. And I'm like, I don't know. So, you know, I got nervous. I quick finished my message, because I thought, oh, you know, like, oh, you know how we are. You thought, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so we went to move on, and he, you know, he's like, I got to stop you. And, you know, he tells the entire room, he's like, my uncle is buried next to John Wayne.
Oh, I love it. Oh.
I am like, how crazy is that? Three gems, John Wayne. Come on. If those aren't aha moments, you know.
And they were reminders. Not only are we so humbled and blessed to be able to share that type of, you know, proof of the continuity of life, and that our loved ones really are there with us and can communicate. How humbling that the spiritualism has taught us and guided us in that. But it also is such a great reminder for ourselves, and that we come across things like that all the time, because ego, it just, human nature will get in the way, and we doubt ourselves. I, again, studying with Patricia Price, I remember her telling me, Diane, I've been doing this 40 years. I still doubt myself at times. And, you know, so I don't think that's ever going to go away. But what a beautiful reminder. It's almost just as much a message to you as it was to that person that you gave it to. That, yeah, okay, I need to just trust. I need to trust in spirit, that spirit will always deliver what that person needs to hear, regardless of my little mind trying to understand it or figure it out. So I love that. That's a great story. Oh,
wonderful. I know. So then let me ask you this, because in the beginning, when we were talking about how you found spiritualism and what drew you to it, you did bring up the, what I always call the triune of spiritualism, right? Mm-hmm. Is the fact that we are, you know, based upon the science, philosophy, and religion of mediumship. Mm-hmm. So do you find that you focus on one maybe more than the other? Do you find that you focus on all of them? What do you do?
What do I do? I will say that I am attracted to all three of them. You know, that's the way my mind thinks, right? The science of it, I don't understand, right? But I have heard people explain the physics behind it, and I go, I believe you and trust you, because you're way smarter about that than I am, but I don't understand half of what you just said. But I've heard it explained, and I go, oh, cool. That's cool. Okay, I get it, right? Energy never dies. Energy continues on. All of those things. I totally get that, and I love that, and it's a I actually do use some of those explanations when people question me and ask me questions.
Sure.
The philosophy, I've always been a student of philosophy. So I think the philosophy is interesting. But I would say, as someone who was raised Catholic in a very religious family, I lean on the religious part of it. I love the religion of spiritualism. I love going, you know, to our church, and I love spending that time with spirit and quiet contemplation and meditation. And I would also say, you know, I'm an ordained minister, and one of the things I realized accidentally is that before I ever found spiritualism, I was ministering even in my job. I'm in the hotel business. I've 25 years in hospitality and running hotels. And we see the best and worst in people in hotels, right? You think weddings, graduations, births, new jobs, vacations, wonderful things. And yet we also see the worst of things, right? And so there are times whenever I had to lean on both my not my religion that I had at the time, but also my spirituality or my spiritualism that I didn't know existed yet. But I know your loved one, as we would have funerals, we would, people would, one of my hotels was in front of a hospital, and we would have people who would, of course, be coming to visit loved ones who were preparing to cross over. And I'd have conversations just as a hotel manager, just person to person, where, somebody needs to talk. I know your loved one is going to continue on. I know that in my heart. I know that for certain. And like those things again, where I didn't understand spiritualism yet, but I had this knowledge because I'd been living and experiencing these things throughout my life. And so I would say I lean more towards the religion of it because of how I was raised and how I've used it throughout my life and how deeply important it has been to me throughout my life. But at the same time, I'd say all three of them fascinate me to this day, and that I continue to study all three sides of it. But that's why I belong in this in spiritualism. That's why I found my home. This is where I belong.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's a, like I'm just sitting here going, yes, like I get all tingles, like yes. Well, because I know the word religion, and I'm sure you hear this too, in your ministry, in church. It depends. Sometimes you say those words out loud and you can tell it's like nails on a chalkboard to some people. But really, I think sometimes we put an overemphasis on words. And instead, I want to hear you describe what it is. And the way you described how you practice the religion through ministry, that's really religion to me, is that comforting, that compassion to humanity. Not just a building, though I do say I too love to go to church. I don't know. In even other churches, any re like some when people of like minds gather together to share in love, that's what I love to feel. If it's, prayer, meditation, whatever, that feels good. But yeah, I do like
Yeah,
the word.
absolutely. And there are times, I will still go to Catholic church with family members. There is that the cadence of the mass and the beautiful songs and the message. I still all of that resonates with me. And say Lilydale, of course, season is opening here soon, and the monks will be coming. Is there have you been there for the monks yet? I oh
Once.
monk, I mean, it just there's no more humble. Just seeing them humbles me. Just seeing them as they're walking down the street, and just the I yeah. I mean, it doesn't even matter what religion. I can find beauty and love in that religion. I just yeah, absolutely. And so yeah, I think that for that reason, spiritualism, the religion part of it, really resonates with me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, which is, speaking of Lilydale and actually the spiritualist movement, we talk about, and you guys hear me talk about pretty much in every episode, spiritualism isn't new, obviously communicating with, spirit isn't new either. That's ancient. It goes back throughout time. But we, our movement of modern spiritualism happened, 1848 is usually around the time we recognize, even though I think the movement was happening before then and is still continuing. Is there any one person in its history that might stand out to inspire you?
I think, as I answer my questions, I usually say all of them, right? And even, people say, what's your favorite color? I say, it just depends on the day. I love all colors, right? What's your favorite season? I love all four seasons. Are you kidding? There's something to love about all four seasons. So it's hard for me to narrow it down, right? I mean, obviously you reference the Fox sisters, and there's so many, especially the suffrage movement, everything that happened in Lilydale. There are so many inspirational women, that I could refer to who were spiritualists, and getting closer in time in Lilydale. The Campbell brothers. I love I go to visit is Azure. I never know if I'm saying his name right, but you know, in the hotel. And if you're going to Lilydale this summer, please go visit him. You know, precipitated art is so fascinating to me, and the people who really just continue to practice throughout, you know, our recent history are fascinating to me. But I will say, the most inspirational to me is not historical. It is, you know, we live in, and I won't make this political, but we live in a very divisive time, especially when it comes to religion. And people who can live their truth today and speak it and share it, to me, continues to be just as inspirational as those who paved the way for us to this day. And so honestly, you know, people like yourself, my friends, people I know, people in the churches that I've attended, people who are willing and open to talk to me about spiritualism and have a curiosity about it and say, you know what, Diane, tell me a little bit more about this. I don't know anything. I didn't know that was a religion. I didn't know you were an ordained minister. I didn't know any of this. Tell me about it. People who are open-minded today and then are willing to discuss it, and then those of us who are spiritualists to live our truth in today's world. To me, that's inspirational, right? Because it is very easy to hide behind you know, things and say, oh, no, you know, I don't want to talk about it, or you know, it's just too divisive, or you know, what have you. It's an inspiration to live that today, I think, just as much as those in history who paved that path for us.
I love that answer. I love it so much. 'Cause I too, like, I love the history. It's hard to pick out just one, especially when you get in it and you read it. But I love what you're saying, where you find that inspiration with your friends, with the people you go to church with our mentors, the people that we grew up with, our teachers. You know, the movement itself, I mean, we were radical when we started, right? And we should be able to speak it and talk about. That's my favorite thing, is discussion. You know, I'm not here to convert you and tell you this is the only way, you know, but thanks for showing an interest in a way. Or, yeah.
Yeah, and in some ways, I feel like living it today is more radical than it was in 1848. In 1848, it was just, oh, wow, okay, that's interesting. We're having communication through wrappings. And, you know, and certainly there's a story there too. But I think in today's world, it is, and in some parts of the world, it can be downright dangerous to speak our truth. But to be able to live it and speak it and do it with truth and honesty and love in today's world, I think that does take just as much, you know, it's just as important as it was than it was in 1848, I believe, in my opinion, at least.
Absolutely. I love your opinion. Thank you for
Well,
sharing
thank you.
it. I'll be thinking about that for a while now. I love it. I love it. So then that always leads me to, like, when you're, 'cause you know, I know you're ordained, and I know that, you know, you are out doing the ministry, but you know, I always feel like we're always perpetual students. Like, we don't ever get to a certain point and be like, okay, good, now I know everything, right? And I know that's those are bad words. Those are really bad words.
Yes,
Like,
they are. Yes.
I agree. Is there any, like, go-to reference books, movies, classes, like anything that stands out to you that you could, you know, because some of these people who are listening tonight, they might be new to spiritualism, they might not have ever heard of spiritualism, or they could be generational spiritualists. So is there any, like, go-to reference, if you would, that you have, that resonates with you, that you would like to share?
You know, no, I would say there isn't one specific. Look, when I am having any type of conversation with somebody and they show some interest, but they just don't, they're not, they don't know, and they don't, you know, they don't know what they don't know. Of course, I refer them, you know, Lilydale is my spiritual home. I always say a good starting place is the movie or the documentary, Nobody Dies in Lilydale. It was originally on HBO. It's no longer available there, but you can find it on YouTube and you can purchase it. I always say, you know what, start there, because you're going to start to see that, you know, I think there's such a misperception of who we are and what we do, and you know, some of that is the fault of, you know, people who came before us who, you know, didn't necessarily live this in an honorable way, right? And
Yeah.
you know, and we know that that's part of our history, and we have to own that. So when people were like, "Wow, you know, are you going to tell me the lottery numbers?" Like, yeah, no, that's not what I'm going to do. But thank you for thinking that maybe spirit could tell me, because I would have already been a millionaire by now. But no, I do refer people to Lilydale first and foremost, right? Whether if they're far away, you know, take a look at the movie and then let's have a discussion afterward, and I can kind of share with you, yeah, myself and my friend Stacy and my other friends, we've stood at that stump and delivered beautiful messages, and that this is about healing, that it is about, you know, and you know, basically being of service to spirit and to share with people, you know, that are the love that is in all of us.
Yeah.
So I first refer to Lilydale, and I say, you know, let's, if you're nearby, if you're within a day's drive, we'll take a day up there, you know, go sit at the stump, or you know, whether it's during one of the message services or if it's not, even more so, right? I mean, just to sit there in that beautiful, you know, cathedral of the trees, and to feel spirit, you know, be with you. And quite honestly, the very first class I ever took on mediumship was in Lilydale. Even though I had been communicating with spirit, what I know now to be spirit, when I was a child all the way through, I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know, you know, I just, and quite honestly, in my early 20s, I thought it was a parlor trick. I used to, you know, I will say this with a level of shame at this age, but you know, I'd go to bars and I'd, you know, do it to get free beer. Like, hey, you want to, like, I'll tell you when your birthday is, no problem. Like, you know, I could, yeah, I know, yeah, grandma's with you. I would freak people out at times because I didn't know how or what to say or how to do it. I remember I walked into my hotel one time and there was a new employee there, and I was like, oh, it was overwhelming. I'm like, was your grandma short with curly hair, gray hair? And she, you know, spoke with a little bit of an accent. She was, who are you? Like, oh yeah, but I didn't know any better, right? I didn't know any better. And so I tell people who are curious, if you can get to Lilydale, and if you can't, there are so many online resources. You know, that's the one of the blessings of COVID, is so much now, you know, classes are being taught on Zoom, not just from Lilydale, but from other churches and from other places. Like yourself, you run a circle. You know, many of my friends are doing similar things and sharing, you know, that education. And, you know, even if you're just curious for to, you know, you don't even know why you're curious, seek one of these out, ask questions. But I wouldn't say, again, just like, what's your favorite color? I don't have one favorite resource. Lilydale as a whole is a resource. Heck, I spent a week in Lilydale last year, as I typically do. I just went in the library and sat down and pulled books off the shelf. They have recordings in the basement from not platform messages, but you know, the inspirational talks before that, going back into the 60s and 70s. And I would just sit with the recorder and just listen to them, and just learn, right? Just to immerse myself in these other people and how they taught it and what they were living and their truth. So yeah, I just, Lily sort
What a
Lily
bet.
does as a whole is that resource.
Love
But
it.
hey, if you're living someplace and you can't get to Western New York, no problem. The
Well,
internet
yeah.
is your resource, right?
Yeah, wonderful. So tell me a little bit about what you're doing now. You're a spiritualist minister. What are you kind of, I always say we're just ministering all the time. Like any conversation we have, we're constantly ministering. But do you have anything coming up? If you know, kind of like tell me a little bit about you, or if anybody wants to get in contact with you because they've, been inspired by you.
Well, yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate it. So, you know, I totally agree. We minister every single day. And my passion, as I mentioned early on in this discussion, was to te is to teach people how they can receive those messages, or at least quiet themselves so they can hear the messages they're already receiving. I'd say that's the main ministry that I go with, that I and I have you know, taught some, but it's more one-on-one with conversations. If somebody reaches out for a reading. I'm happy, you know, to do readings, but at the end of every single reading that I do, bar none, every single one, I save 5 minutes to have a conversation about how you never have to pay a medium again in the future because you too can do this. And let me tell you a few ways that you can. And if you want to continue to learn, some ways that you can continue to learn that. Like, I just think it's so, so important for people to understand. And I will tell people if they come back over and over and over, not that they're an annoyance or, you know, hey, I don't want your money, nothing like that. It's just, we need to talk more about how you can start to receive these messages yourself. So that's my ministry, right? So that's, you know, so, but yes, I do readings. I can be reached. Easiest way is my first initial last name, dkealy, dkeally @gmail.com. Send me an email and we'll get the conversation going. And, you know, whether it's a reading or you just want more information about my journey, or you have questions about your own journey or Lilydale or anything, you know, I, like you, all things spiritualism, bring it. I can talk for hours, which I think we have, yes, right?
We have. Oh yes. And we will in the future. I feel it. I might be psychic.
You might be. And I feel like there might be coffee in our future too, during these conversations.
I know. So weird, huh?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I don't drink coffee, but I love a good,
what do you like?
A cup of tea. Give me, you know.
Oh yeah. We'll have all kinds of teas and tea lattes and all of it. You name it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a feeling long conversations will ensue. And I can't wait to give you a hug. By the way, it's been a couple years since I've seen you, and I just can't wait to sit in your energy and give you a big hug.
Oh my goodness. Me too. Yes, me too. And you know, you bring up a really, I think, a really important part that sometimes we forget is that contact, that touch, that one-on-one conversation. You know, I am sure I am probably, you know, speaking to the choir right now, but like one of the best things that you can do if you have questions or you're curious is to find someone like Diane or myself and sit down and ask us. You know, I always say to people, there is no question that you're going to ask that doesn't offend me.
Yeah. And you know, you know, and this is a plug for Lilydale, but I will also say that it extends outside of Lilydale to us spiritualists. When I walked through those gates, I knew not a soul behind the gates, not one person. And today, like I said, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years, what's the point in counting anymore? But I count many of my closest friends as people that I met in Lilydale. And, you know, just to find like-minded people and to sit, and like yourself, right? Just to sit and have a conversation and even debate some things, right? There are certainly things in spiritualism that we still debate, but we do it with respect and love. Mm-hmm. And to walk out of those gates knowing, you know, number one, that I have a knowledge of the continuity of life because I witnessed it over and over in my time at Lilydale or with my friends as we, you know, practice in circles and or sit and do readings. To have that knowledge is, it's a warm hug in and of itself, right? Mm. But I agree, right? You know, I think even as I've met people in my own journey, not knowing what this was or why it was happening or what to do with it, to meet other people who were on that same journey and to start to understand it. I remember I sat the first time I went to Lilydale, I sat on the porch of the hotel. And I met a woman, I won't say her name because I don't know how out she is. Some people aren't. And I said, you know, when I give messages, I make people cry. I don't want to make people cry. That makes me feel bad. She goes, I get so excited when I make people cry. It's healing. Crying is healing. It means that you've connected and that you've been able to share something. And to just have that aha moment the very first time I went to Lilydale. And to have somebody who understands the journey that I've gone on, and that they're just a little bit more advanced in the knowledge than I was at the time, and to share that knowledge with me, that was a game changer in my life. And now, like her, I'm like, I love making people cry. This is great. To be able to share that healing from spirit is such a good feeling. But yeah.
I love that. I always say when spirit gets so close and it becomes so real or true, which it is for us always, That our heart fills with so much love, our eyes leak.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's a great way of saying it. I love that.
Yeah,
that's great.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. This has been a splash, I always say. I am going to do a little plug for Lilydale, of course, since you're listening to Who Are These Spiritualists? I'm your host, Stacey, and today's guest was Diane. Thank you. And we are on the third Sundays of every month, so it's only once a month. But that being said, Lilydale Radio has a vast amount of mediums and other spiritualists who are doing shows weekly or bi-weekly or monthly. There's always something going on. So you can look, you know, find that online at lilydaleblogradio.com or through Facebook or social media. I know Lilydale is expanding its social media net. So I think we're on TikTok now, and who knows? I don't know. We're moving. Instagram, I don't know. But we are spreading our net, and we are learning about other spiritualists through this program, because like Diane was just talking about, that community, knowing that you can find community in, you know, either in Lilydale, New York, which is always open for that. And, you know, the season starts here just in about a week once you see this recording. And it goes through Labor Day weekend. And they even have things before and after. There are other communities, other camps in other states. You know, we'll have someone from Casadega in a few months as a guest on the show. There's even England. The month before, we had Jackie Wright. That was Arthur Findlay College. I mean, you can find spiritualism throughout the world. Sometimes you have to hunt for it. I get it. I understand, because it's that feeling. But keep looking for us. Diane, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for just, again, inspiring me. Now I'm all like, you know, warm and giddy and just, you know, proud and happy, always proud and happy to be a spiritualist. But to spend time with another spiritualist and hear about all of their energy and perception is wonderful.
Well, Stacey, it was my joy to sit here with you and to talk about one of our favorite subjects. And any chance we could make a TikTok this summer, let's make a spiritualist Lilydale TikTok. I think that would be so much fun.
We're on it. We're on it. Look for us in the future. I do remind all of you, this is pre-recorded, so we are not live. But if you are watching us, if you've heard something that Diane has said or I have said, and you'd like more information or to make a comment or to get in contact with, please feel free to comment in the comment section. We do pay attention to that and check that regularly throughout the week after it's been broadcast, so we can stay in contact with anyone who might be seeking. Otherwise, I cannot wait to hug you and pour you a tea and sit on a porch, because I, you know, there is that place that's
safe, have a porch.
Right? That we will be. And thank you everyone for watching and joining us tonight, or if you rewatch it, thank you. And we look forward to hopefully meeting you on the porch and having discussion.
Yes.